page 292 of case 40. Nanchuan, it's like a dream. Pointer, cease and desist. Then an iron tree blooms with flowers. Is there anyone? Is there? A clever lad loses his profit. Even though he is free in seven ways up and down and eight ways across, he cannot avoid having another pierce his nostrils. But tell me, where is this error to test? I quote this to see. Cease and desist. Then an iron tree blooms with flowers. Cease and desist. I very often emphasize this. Cease and desist is not your business. You try to cease, you try to desist. You never cease, you never desist. Because the more you try to cease, the more you realize that there is always something moving. So you never stop anything. So important point is only when there is absolutely nothing for your business. All you have to do is when you sit down, you just be one with the sitting. At that time, that is called to cease all affairs, all involvement. So that is in Fukanda Zengi. If you read Fukanda Zengi carefully, Dogen Zenji mentions, anyway, making arrangement of circumstances, you know, rooms, and your bodies, clothes, your mind, mainly the three adjustments. One is breathing, mind, and body. And also, we have to take care of the circumstances. So circumstances, arrangement is very complicated anyway. Before you do, you can make arrangement of circumstances, but right in the middle of the then, from moment to moment, still there are complicated circumstances always occur. From moment to moment, the visualizations inside of your head, this is kind of one of the circumstances. So if you are completely tossed away by them, well, you cannot cease involvement. If you are involved in this visualization inside, you never cease, you never desist. So, the point is constantly making arrangements means, you have to put it aside. And all you have to do is just you should have a one-pointedness on Zazen, breathing. That's all you have to do. And then very naturally, that is called cease, all involvements. And then at that time, it is called all worldly affairs rest, peaceful. Noise of cars, birds, winters are complete rest in this world. That is called cease and desist. So if you try to cease, you never cease. So, but the only there is nothing, nothing for your business. You try to or you not try to, whatever you do, it's your business. But at that time, it's very difficult to cease. So, if you realize that it's completely nothing for your business, at that time, you can really cease. That is called shikantara. Well, I think you should experience this through your really shikantara. Otherwise, no matter how long I say so, it doesn't make sense. So, cease and desist, then an iron tree blooms with flowers, and then you don't believe, just sitting like this, so without having your own business. And then you say, then what? It's useful, or it's not useful. You always say, you always try to create your business. But just sitting in kind of nothing, no business. What if there is a business? In the iron trees, it's really blue. I mentioned that Zen practice is completely cut down your egoistic, constructed way of life. Most of people really afraid of doing that because people are afraid of losing the self. I do think it is right understanding. Well, it's pretty hard, but if you can't do it in your everyday life, there is always an egoistic sense. So even only the Zen, we have to do real Zen, the throwing away your egoistic constructed way of life anyway. That time, intellectually you are afraid of losing yourself, but actually not. It's blooming, real self. Real self blooms from complete nothing. From nothing anyway, real self blooms. So, that is that's why it says, then iron tree blooms with flowers, iron trees. It's nothing. Nothing means, just like an iron tree. It's impossible to bloom flowers from nothing, but it really blooms from there. So is there anyone? Is there? Who blooms? Who blooms the flower of your real self? For what? For what do you have to bloom the real flower of your life for? Is there anyone you can discuss? Nothing. Exactly nothing. But it's blooming. Cleveland loses his prophets. Sometimes clever lad, I'm going to say the has sometimes similar act with the enlightened person, because if you do that, then you constantly like this, sooner or later you really feel what yourself is, and what emptiness is, what oneness is. That time most people become very clever and smart, and then they're really proud of themselves. So that means a clever lad. So clever lad has sometimes a similar act with an enlightened person, just for appearance's sake. But he fails to find the buyer for nothing to buy. He loses a complete benefit. Because the moment when you get it in your hand, next moment it's not something you have hold, you have held in your hand. So you don't know where is it. What is enlightenment? What is real self, what you have experienced? What is it? So that's why he says a clever lad loses his profits. Everyone becomes rich, smart, and clever. If you do something you can ever experience, and then experience a unique proof what you have done. And then you believe that is a benefit, profit. But unfortunately, including your experience, your body and mind, all completely impermanent. So you don't know what happens next moment. So even though he is free in 7 ways up and down, 8 ways across, in 7 ways up and down and 8 ways across, is then terminologies. Than typical term, always. That is kind of to one's heart content. So, even though he is free to his own, to his heart content, anyway, he acts freely. Wherever he may go, he seems to be free. But he cannot avoid having another pierce his nostrils. That means just like a car, you know, they having the, you know, wings, piercing his nostrils and tied up with a rope, and you cannot move an inch anyway. Even a little boy can handle those big cars. So-called enlightened car. So, well, if you really take proud of yourself so much through the experience, well, it's alright, but that is exactly a kind of car piercing his nostrils. So, this is not completely free. This is not completely free. That's why in Zen practice always two aspects, two practices we have to do. Completely accept you are Buddha. Anyway, through and through, that is in your daily living, you have to accept you are Buddha. In order to this, you can't insert, you can't import your feeling into real Buddha nature. So that is called egolessness. Egolessness. If you accept as a Buddha, if you accept you as a Buddha, that then naturally you can practice egolessness. Then next, if you see the Buddha nature, then naturally you want to hang on. That's why next you have to let it go. Constantly let it go. So nothing for your business. Anyway, constantly. Accept your total existence. And do something as a Buddha anyway. And then next, whatever experience you do anyway, put them back, give them back to the emptiness. Anyway, that is let it go. So, that's why it says he cannot avoid adding another pure to his nostril. But tell me, where is this error? To test, I quote this to see. Case, as the officer Lu Sun was talking with Nan Chuan, he said, Master of the Teaching Chao said, Heaven, Earth, and I have the same root, many things, and I are one body. This is quite marvelous. Nan Chuan pointed to a flower in the garden. He called to the officer and said, people these days see this flower as green. Officer Lu Xuan, see the commentary, page 293. Officer Lu Xuan studied for a long time with Nan Chuan. He always keep his mind on essential nature, and he immersed himself in the discourses of Chao. This is a Chao Run. This is Chao Run. This is English translation. So you can see this is a library book. One day at this sat, he happened to bring up these two lines, considering them remarkable. He questioned Master of the Teachings Chao said, Heaven, Earth, and I have the same root. Mediate things and I are one body. This is quite marvelous. Master of the Teachings Seng Chao was an eminent monk of Qin times, latter 4th, early 5th centuries AD. He was together with Tao Shen, Tao Jun, and Sen Jue in the school of Kumar Jiva. Kumar Jiva lived from 352 to 409, and it is said that he had four famous sages, philosophical and religious sages. There is Tao Shen, Tao Jun, and Sen Sui, and also Shen Chao, who wrote this treatise. The Kumar Jiva was the greatest translator of Buddhist scriptures. They were called the Four Sages. When Sen Chao was young, he enjoyed reading Chuang Tzu and Lao Tzu. Later, as he was copying the old translation of the Vimalakirti Sutra, he had an enlightenment. Then he knew that Chuang and Lao still were not really thoroughgoing. Therefore, he compiled all the scriptures and composed four discourses. So he had the enlightenment when he studied the Vimalakirti Sutra, and then he became a monk, a Buddhist monk. And then he wrote this book and composed four discourses. Chapter one is on time. Chapter two on sunyata. Chapter three on prajna, not cognizant. On prajna paramita, which is not cognized. Number four, chapter four, nirvana is unnameable. And this is very interesting book. Tozan, Sekito Zen Master, who composed the song Sandokai. Attained enlightenment by studying this, Chao Run. So using the lots of statements, lots of terms from Chao Run and Lao Tzu, Chan Tu and Lao Tzu. But I don't think he emphasizes the teaching of Chan Tu or Lao Tzu, just using the term, like emphasizing real meaning of emptiness, real meaning of suchness as it isness of existence. So it's pretty interesting book, this one. So that's why it says, okay. So as the officer, Lu Chuan, he anyway practiced for many years, and the guidance of Nan Chuan, he said, most of the teachings the child said, heaven, earth, and I have the same root. The media thinks and I are one body. This is quite marvelous. I think if you study Buddhism very naturally, you can see this teaching very often. And even though they don't, Buddhist scripture doesn't use exactly the same statement, but the teaching is exactly the same as this. Oneness, equality, the same and one. So, this is not the teaching, not the matter of discussion, philosophical discussion. For instance, to be alive from day to day, from moment to moment, is not a matter of discussions. If you discuss on being alive from moment to moment, at that time you have to talk about on being alive. Very naturally, somebody start to discuss about on not being alive. So very naturally, there are two ideas comes up: being alive or not being alive. So that is a discussion that always comes up endlessly. You have to go like this. It is just conceptualized, called be alive, but it's not be alive. Be alive is before you conceptualize this one. Anyway, you have to be alive. before you understand your heart, anyway, heart must be alive. What does it mean? Your heart is alive. What does it mean? You pick up, if you see, you pay attention to the presence of your heart. And then thinking about your heart, it is not real aliveness. Because you already think and pick up heart from your body and look at the heart. It's really conceptualized. But real alive of your heart is oneness with your nose, with your life, with the life of your nose and your body, your belly button and your hands and winters and anyway, that oneness is complete beyond your cognition. Before you cognize, anyway, it's alive. That aliveness is oneness with your bodies, with your winter, with your sleep, anyway. Heart is beating, anyway. This is a real aliveness, real aliveness. So, well, anyway, this Officer Lu Fan really understand this one. Oneness, but he said, this is quite marvelous. Then it's always quite marvelous. Maybe this is a little bit a little point which the Master Nan Chuan doesn't like it. So that's why Nan Chuan said, pointed to a flower in the garden, he called it to the officer and said, people these days see this flower as a dream. Means the moment when he says this is quite marvelous. Well, this is quite marvelous, or this is real true, or this is not true. Or this is marvelous, this is not marvelous. If you say so, well, the same and the oneness becomes conceptualized. So immediately Nan Chuan pointed to the flower in the garden, he called and then said, the people these days see this flower as a dream. It's really a dream, you don't know what it is. In the explanation of Avalokiteshvara, function of the Avalokiteshvara, there is a koan about the meaning of Avalokiteshvara. It says kind of groping for the pures at night, you know. That means already pures here, and your hand is here, all your rooms is here, anyway, but in darkness. At darkness, you just look for, anyway, pillows, at night. That means everything very clear, curtains and tables and pillows and darkness and rooms. Your hand is moving, but you never touch it. Just function. That's all. That is kind of dream. You don't know. You don't know. But you know where it is. Where is a pillow? In this room, anyway, you know that. But you never touch it. So that's why it's very difficult to know what the same oneness is. It's kind of dream. Even though you say it's marvelous, what is that? You don't know what it is. You cannot explain it.
I told you very often your stomach and your body, so when your stomach is perfectly functioning, you never have a chance to pay attention to it. You know? The function of your stomach, the function of your body is exactly expressed in other oneness, as the same one. At that time, is there anything? No, because you don't pay attention. Your stomach, you are perfect. But the moment when you know stomach, the location of your stomach, if something happens, even though your stomach is fine, but if you pay attention to the location of your stomach, that is only you kind of, well, you pick up a stomach from your body, from the oneness, from the same and oneness of the functions, and then look at your stomach. But your stomach, function of your stomach is exactly in the same and oneness before you are conscious of. That's why you never know. But it's working. It's really working. So it's kind of a dream. That kind of, just a dream. You don't know what it is. So all you have to do is just keep your stomach, keep your body just like that, you know. That's all you have to do is. So if you have trouble anyway, fix your stomach until it becomes the same and the one of your body, with your body. Anyway, you have to fix that. So, that's why Nan Tuan pointed to a flower in the garden. He called to the office and said, people these days see the flower as a dream. Look at the commentary. Page 294. 1, 2, 3, 4 paragraphs in the middle. Lu Xuan's questioning in this matter was indeed quite exceptional. But he didn't go beyond the meaning of the teaching. If you say that the meaning of the teachings is the ultimate paradigm. Paradigm?
Paradigm.
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 Paradigm. Paradigm, I see. Ultimate paradigm. Then why did the word Anand One also raise the flower? What did the patriarchal teacher come from the West for? See here, this is a very important. Lu Xuan questioning in this manner was indeed quite exceptional. But he didn't go beyond the meaning of the teachings. He understand the teachings anyway. Teaching Buddhism is just you have to understand. And the individual experience of a teaching, why is it that the Buddha Shakyamuni has to raise the flowers, wooden bow flowers, and get the Mahakashapa smiling to it. Why he has to do this? Why the Bodhidharma has to go to the China to teach? Why is it that bodhisattvas suffer from their life in everyday life, even though they understand Buddhism they understand teaching of Buddha's teaching, and they can awaken others. But why do they have to suffer from their life in order to help all sentient beings? It is not the model of just understanding of teachings. Because Bodhisattva's life must be one, their actions, their behaviors, their lives, everyday life, from moment to moment, must be exactly tuning into the rhythm of the same and oneness of existence. Just like a relationship between you and your stomach. Exactly. This is what? This is a kind of teaching? No teaching. Anyway, stomach has to function in from moment to moment, tuning into the rhythm of your body, anyway. Rhythm of your body, rhythm of the winter, rhythm of the universe, anyway. Whatever we feel, it has to do this. So, well, what is this? This is not understanding of teaching. So that's why it says, he didn't go beyond the meaning of teaching. If you say that the meaning of the teaching is the ultimate pardon, then why did the word Anna one also raise the flowers? What did the patriarchal teacher come from the West for? Why? And Nanchuan's way of answering used the grip of a patchwork of monk to pull out the painful spot for the other. This is really to pulling out the painful spot for the others means nothing for your business. That is a really painful spot for us because we really want to pull out something anyway, get something anyway. But constantly, Buddhists and the patriarchs emphasize this emptiness means really painful spot for us because nothing to get it. But nothing from nothing, your body, your stomach really function pretty well. That is called the same and oneness. That is called emptiness in terms of the functioning of the same and oneness. It is called emptiness. So, Nantuan point out the flower is kind of dream. That means nothing for your business. Anyway, flower just a bloom. Whatever you feel. Tiny flowers bloom in the heart of the mountain. Even though no one pay attention to. So, the Nanchuan's way of answering used the grip of a patchwork of the monk to pull out the painful spot for the other. And broke up his nest means really we don't know this nest. It's very difficult to realize nest, how hard it is, so how delicate it is, we don't know. But consciously or unconsciously, we really rest in our nest. That is called ignorance sometimes. It is called egoistic, ego-constructed way of life. Ignorance is not sin that we think usually, but ignorance is not something like that. Ignorance is something intellectual understanding through everyday life. So, when ignorance is actualized in your daily living, it appears as craving and grasp. And then your existence is conditioned by those two, craving and grasp. That is very concrete aspect of ignorance. And then through this concrete aspect of human existence based on craving and grasp, you can see really strong, something strong rooted in your life. Very strong. You don't know where it comes, but it's there. You don't know when, how it works. We don't know, but it's really there. Then it is called ignorance. We put it a name, ignorance. So ignorance is not the kind of idea of sinful nature of human beings. Because it is coming from, it is something you can really see through everyday life anyway. It's coming from your heart. So, anyway, that is the next, anyway, next. He pointed at the flower in the garden and called to the officer, saying, "People these days see this flower as though it were a dream. This is like leading the man to the edge of the 10,000 fathom cliff and giving him a push, causing his life to be cut off." That is, I don't think this Officer Lu's son understand, accept the non-trans compassion like this. He didn't understand. But exactly, this is a simple answer. Non-trans, very compassionate answer. Simple answer. Point out the flower. The people these days look at this flower just like a dream. That means really you are driven to the corner, completely cannot move an inch on the cliff, not on the flat, even plain, even ground, and push it. That is pretty hard because usually if you understand there's something of Buddhism, you really stay with it. You really want to keep it. You really want to, anyway, hang on. Particularly if you experience something, you really want to keep it. But that is not real understanding of Buddhism. So you have to get through, slip down from that situation. For this, anyway, Nantan had to awaken him where he was. He was just at the level of intellectual understanding. So he put him down anyway. Put him on the cliff, on the top of the cliff, and push him.
That means that is pretty hard for us. Because if you attain enlightenment immediately, there is nothing. What's wrong with it? What's for of what? If you are told by teacher or by the Buddhist teaching, everything is emptiness, what do you mean this? Can't you feel happy? Can't you feel pensive? Whatever you feel, it doesn't need to come up, because it is the truth. So, that's why the commentary says this is like leading the man to the edge of the 10,000 fathom cliff and giving him a push, causing his life to cut off, to be cut off. If you are pushed over on level ground, even till Maitreya Buddha was born in the world, you still would simply be unable to accomplish the cutting off of life. So, it's pretty hard. That's why, anyway, we have to take one step forward, not on the level, even level ground. You have to take one step forward from the top of a 100 feet high pole. That is pretty hard. People don't like this one, because people always want to keep egoistic structure, constructed way of life constantly. And then they experience something. That is just to take one step on the level ground. If so, it's not necessary to practice the religions. Religion is very strict. It's not strict, you know. You have to not risk your life. In a sense, you have to risk your life, but before you risk your life, there are lots of things that you have to do anyway. If you keep constant to your egoistic sense, it's very, you never have a chance to know real meaning of religion anyway. That's why we have to take one step forward from the top of the 100 feet high pole. That is the teaching. Everyone doesn't like it. What do we have to do? Well, not only religions, if you study the science and psychology and philosophy and whatever you do, first of all, anyway, you have to throw away yourself. You have to be empty. And then you have to accept. Anyway, teaching given by ancestors, you have to learn with an empty heart. That's pretty hard, but we have to do. A particular religion is talking about full enlightenment of life in every aspect of your daily living, washing your face and go to work, or wherever you may go, religious life must be alive. But in the science of psychology, physics, maybe in the realm of art, your life is really work, but out of that, you don't know what to do. So that's why even the great artists, you know, their life is really complicated, confused, and lots of stuff there. Religion is anyway penetrating every inch of your everyday life. How to take care, you have to learn how to take care. This is religion. For this, anyway, we have to take one step forward from the top of 100 feet high pole. That means practice of egolessness. Beyond I am okay or I am not okay anyway, we have really to do something. So that is this chapter. Next, I will leave the verse of this chapter. Do you have any questions? During session, I told a little bit. Sometimes egolessness, practice of egolessness is misunderstood because it seems to accept no subjectivity, no respect, no respect of individuals. But I don't think this is right understanding. I taught it during session anyway, whatever situation you may be, you have to manifest yourself in appropriate way perfect way, as best as you can anyway. When you become server, when you become cook, when you become student who is sitting there, then anyway you have to manifest yourself in appropriate way, in perfect way, as best as you can anyway manifest. Beyond you like or you don't like. Beyond, it is right, it is wrong. According to the suggestion or teaching, we have to do it. We have to manifest ourselves like this. That is called genjo. Presently manifestation, presently perfections, presently becoming anyway. That is called realization. Next, anyway, we have to get through, flip down from that stage, you really have manifested yourself, because it's pretty easy for us to be arrogant for this experience. I did it, or I am great. So you are stuck pretty easily in individual experience. So you have to be anywhere free from this. Let it go. So if you don't manifest yourself in every aspect of your life in appropriate place, very naturally, during session I told you, anyway, there is somebody who domains you. You should do it because you don't know. You don't know what to do.
Dominate
you. Or there is a two kind of person that you don't know, one person who don't know what to do, who don't manifest themselves in perfect, in appropriate way. So depending on somebody, so dominate, somebody dominates you. And then finally you don't feel good because somebody dominates you always. So you become mad at. The other person is always, who is always rebellious, resistant. Resistant is fine. But if you are resistant, whatever it is, I think you should leave, or you should make a choice of something other thing. If you don't do that, you keep staying in the same place and you are always rebellious,
you know what happens. There is very natural somebody appears and dominates you. That domination becomes getting worse. Finally, you become really egoistic, and then somebody dominates you, you know, overwhelmingly. And then finally, that is just become army training. Do you understand? Army training. Army training is really, we have to do something, one thing, with many people. But unfortunately, many people are very egoistic, rebellious. That's very common. They don't have enough time to teach, you know, religious way of life anyway. They really want to do something, you know, right away, using the lots of manpowers for this. What do they do? Very naturally, somebody certain anyway dominates you, and again, if you don't, well, completely dominates you. That is complete, you are just like a toy. And then we say we can create peace. I don't think so, you know. Sangha is not like this. Sangha is not the peace we create like that. If you are rebellious or resistant, well, think carefully of yourself. And then, if you want to be here, you have to be careful anyway. But if you don't want, if you want to rebellious constantly and very naturally interrupting others, very naturally, you have to leave anyway. Because you are still free anyway. I don't want you put in army training in order to create peaceful sangha. It's nothing but the armies. So I don't want to do this. Particularly toward the teaching, particularly a kind of a religious ceremony, etc. But to the minimum anyway, I have to be careful to do this. But still you are always rebellious against, and so that's fine. That's fine, I am in control. And also I change a lot, because my situation change, and also, well, if I find something wrong, if I something not appropriate, I have to change. Small things are changing constantly. I don't care you are whether you are rebellious against the small things, okay? But anyway, many things you should anyway follow the exact way and manifest yourself in every aspect of your practice, Kenyan, Zazen, Gesho, and morning service, etc. In appropriate ways. So very naturally, you don't need anybody to dominate you. So very naturally we can create peaceful sangha. But if you don't, very naturally somebody here will dominate you. And then very naturally you don't feel good because it's just like with an army training. But I don't think so. It's not. You should be careful anyway. Okay. That is a oneness, same and the oneness anyway. Heaven and earth and you are anyway the same and the one. This is a practice.
There you go.